requests again. Number 33, let's do it. Number 33. Sorrow surround us while treading life's road. Troubles confound us, may carry our load. Fetters that bound us no longer.
Thank you. country this morning. I hope everybody that you're not ready to go, be ready to go with me. Oh, I just feel so good in my soul this morning. You know, Brother Miller, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of far away from the Lord. I get kind of upset. I don't want to be far from God. I want to be where I can feel His sweet Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you, Lord. There ain't nothing like this. Feel the good, sweet Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Nothing like it, people. Nothing like it.
Amen.
Amen. Had one more request. Let's do first and last verse of number 95.
The singing. I liked what I heard. I liked better what I felt. I had this in my Bible this morning and forgot to read this, so I want to read this to my church family. How often I have needed you, and always you have been there for my family and me. Over and over again, you have been there in prayers, through cards of encouragement and sympathy and flowers. Your visits to my dad's funeral was so special, and the donation made by the adult Bible class in memory of my dad was so thoughtful and sweet. My love and thankfulness to each of you for all the help you have been to my family and me during our time of need. God's blessings upon all of you, Sister Sue Howard and family. So we want to continue to remember them in our prayers with the loss of her father. I want you to pray for Brother Joey and Sister Maddie as they come to share a song with us, thankful for the talent that the Lord has blessed them with. And so, Brother Joey, if you all are ready. Appreciate the beautiful song. The thought and what was said in that song, Ancient Words, the words that I'm going to bring before you to that today, they are that. They were written long ago. We're preaching an old message. They're ancient, but they're not outdated. And, you know, it amazes me that these things that the Lord authored by the Holy Spirit many, many years ago when he moved upon the hearts of these men to write these things, that they would be good and productive for people no matter how much their culture changed, no matter how different lifestyle that people would live from generation to generation, that these ancient words would be good for every generation of people to live on the earth. God, in the year 2008, requires the same thing of us that he required from the very beginning. Brother Wheat spoke about this in the Sunday school lesson this morning. And you can go all the way back to the first people that ever lived on the earth, and you can find that there was something that was promised to those people, to Adam and Eve, that still hold true for you and I today. And that is that God will bless people that obey him, and he will punish people who disobey him. And it's been that way ever since man has been on the earth. Did he not tell Adam, "You may of all the trees of the garden freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden, you are not to eat of it, you're not to touch it. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." He promised him that everything would be all right if he would obey him, but in the day that you disobey me, you're going to receive the punishment for it. And we know that through disobedience that they did receive that punishment. And that's the way it still is today. If you'll obey God's word today, you can be blessed by it and benefit from it. But for those who won't, God's curse will be upon them. I want to ask your prayers today. I want to read some scripture from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. And I want to go to verse 46, but I'm not going to read all of this. There are, I'm going to read a few verses, and then there are some verses I'm going to pick up that are spread throughout this reading. But starting with verse 31, and again, this is Jesus doing the speaking. He said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And if you look in verse 41, it says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And the last verse that I want to read from this chapter is verse 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." With these verses being read from Matthew chapter 25, the title of my message today will be Revealed Knowledge. I want to talk to you today about knowledge, but I want to talk to you about a certain type of knowledge. about knowledge that is revealed in a special way to people. And in the reading of these verses, I want to tell you today that I know that the things that have been read here today about this great day that's coming, they are in fact true, and this day will in fact come. And I want to put that before you in that way, that this is not just something that I believe or not just something that I think will happen. I'm saying today that I know that this day is going to come. And you could say, well, preacher, how could you know that? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, about the way that we are able to know that this day is going to come. The things that Jesus wrote about here, about this great and final separation that will one day take place between those who are saved and those who are lost, these things were not written, and Jesus didn't speak these things long ago and have someone write them down so that those of us that have been called to preach could just have something to preach about. The Lord Jesus Christ taught when He was here on the earth, He taught many things in the way of parables. But I want you to know that this is not one of His parables. This is not the things that Jesus spoke to us here about this day is not in the form of a parable. He was teaching and talking about a day that actually will take place, when this will literally, actually be done. We sing a song about this. It's in our church hymnal and other church books that was written many years ago. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. A great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. And then that song asks the question, are you ready for that day to come? I want you to think about that if you're here today. Everybody that's here today, I want to ask that question of you. Are you ready for that day to come? Revealed knowledge. I have never read anything in my life like the Bible. I've never read any book in my life that is like the Scriptures. I've never read any novel or any biography or any book, history book or whatever that it is. I've never read anything that's like reading the Scriptures. Because the more that I read and the more that I study, the bigger they become. You know, you could take any other type of book. You could take an autobiography or a novel or whatever that it is, and the more that you read that book, the more knowledge that you will gain. You may eventually get to where you could recite every chapter and quote every chapter that's in the book, and you may eventually master that book. But it doesn't work that way with the Scriptures. The more that I study and the more that God helps me to learn, the more I realize how little that I know about it. It just expands. It just gets bigger and bigger. And every truth that God helps you to uncover, you realize that there's so many more that you haven't ever really seen yet. It's an amazing book. God's Word is amazing. The things that are written in it cannot be understood. The things that we find written in the Scriptures, the reality of these things, the truth of these things, cannot really be understood unless they are revealed unto you. Now, that doesn't have to take place with a novel or something like that, but it does with the Word of God. The things that are written in God's Word to really know the truth of God's Word and to really have knowledge of the Word of God, it must be revealed unto you. You can learn the facts, you can study the Scriptures, and you can learn that it is a written fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. You can read that he was brought up in Nazareth. You can read about John the Baptist and many other things, and you can gain some factual knowledge from the Bible. But I'm saying to really have the true knowledge of it and what it means, God has to reveal it unto us, or we won't know it. There are those that believe that and have believed for many years and have taught for many years that the only witness that anybody can have of the things of God is what is found in His written Word. And I want you to know something today, friends, that's not true. That's not true. In fact, the written Word of God, the written Scriptures, without the Spirit of God doing His work in them, will not do anything for anybody's soul. It just won't, it won't work. It doesn't work that way. And so I'm telling you today, and I want you to know this especially today. I came here again this morning with a great and heavy burden on my heart for those of you who are not saved. And I want you to know today that it is certain. Today I know, and there are other people here today that can testify to the same thing, that we know that this great day of separation that Jesus spoke about and that we read about here in this 25th chapter of Matthew is going to come. There's going to be a day when the children of God and those who are not the children of God are going to be forever and finally separated from one another, and that those who are saved are going to go away into heaven with God, into life eternal, and those who are not are going to be sent away into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Folks, these things are real. And I want to get back to the question, and I want to tell you how that I know this. Because I know it by some other means other than just having read it in the Word of God. I know that it's here when I read it. As I said, I know the facts of it, but there is a way that I know that it's real, and that is through revealed knowledge. I want to read this verse to you from 1 Corinthians, these verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We hear this verse quoted a lot. And sometimes it's quoted without the thought being finished. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, many times we think about heaven, and maybe if somebody's talking about heaven or preaching about the beauties of heaven, we use this verse. We say, well, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not yet entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But listen to what Paul went on to say in that, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So do you and I today, do we know what all heaven will be like? Do we know what the true realities of heaven? Do we know everything that we're going to see and everything that we're going to behold when we get there? No. It's just like when the Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and she said what she saw his kingdom and what she saw the things that he had done. She said, you know, I had heard of this. I had heard of your wisdom, but when I got here and I saw it, I realized that the half has not yet been told. So we don't know everything yet about what heaven will be like. We don't know what it will actually be like to really be there. But I'll tell you what we do know. We do know, those of us that are saved, we do know that heaven's real. And we do know that we're going. Because God has revealed it unto us. Now I'm telling you something today, friends. God has revealed that unto me. You know, there are people that think they have the knowledge another way, but I'm going to tell you something. God revealed that unto me by His Spirit. And if you don't have something inside that God has revealed to you by His Spirit and to let you know that you have been saved, then you need to keep searching for that until you have it. Because that's the type of salvation that the Bible teaches. So how can we know? How can we know? Because I made that statement today, and I don't want to stand here and be a liar. I don't want to be guilty of saying something that's not true, because I made the statement before you this morning that I know that this day of the great separation is going to come. And I'm going to tell you where it all began for me. The Bible teaches us very plainly that for those who will repent of their sins and place their faith in God will be saved. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul wrote about, and that's exactly what he taught to the people there in Ephesus. You read the 20th chapter of Acts, and when he's talking to the elders of the church of Ephesus and reminding them of his work in the Lord there in Ephesus, he said, I taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the conditions of salvation. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to repent of your sins, and you're going to have to place your trust in the Lord. Your complete trust, your complete faith. You're going to have to trust Him with all of your heart to be saved. And the Bible also teaches us that when that takes place, that when that happens to a person, when a person does repent of their sins and when they do place their full trust in God and God saves them from their sins, the Bible teaches us that He gives to them a revealed knowledge of the fact that He has indeed saved them. Have you had that type of experience? I have. Paul, in his writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, he said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Paul knew it. He wrote to the Corinthians, and what did he say? He didn't say we are imagining or we have wishful thinking about it. He said, we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, how did he know it? He knew it because the Spirit of God revealed it to him. He knew it because of that time out there on the road to Damascus when he called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord saved his soul and revealed it unto him by his Spirit. He knew it the way that the Apostle Peter knew it when Jesus was asking them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some are saying that you're Elias. Some are saying you're John the Baptist. Some are saying that you're one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know what? I can't stop these people. I can't stop people that are out there telling people whether or not they're saved. I can't stop people from, those that are having people walk up front in their services and having them read something on a card or repeat a man-made prayer and then telling people, go back to your seat. Everything's okay between you and God. I can't stop that from happening. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can tell you today that it's not right. And I can tell you today that that's not how people get saved. And I can tell you today that if the God of heaven, through his Holy Spirit, has not revealed it unto somebody that they have been born again by the Spirit of God, then they haven't been. Because God is no respecter of persons, and God gives all of us the same thing when he saves us. God doesn't save you one way and save me another way. So if you haven't turned to the Lord in repentance and put your faith in Jesus Christ and sought after him until that God lets you know through the revelation of the Holy Spirit that you have become his child, then it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened because that's what God does. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, you know, I read all that. I knew all that. You know what? I knew those things when I was very young. I heard those things taught. I heard those things preached. I was aware of them, is what I'm saying. I was aware of those things, of the factual knowledge of those things when I was a very young child. But listen, today I know them to be the truth. I know that they're true. I know that they're real. Because you see, one night in 1973, so troubled about my soul, I mean, just tore all to pieces about the lost condition that I was in. I got down on my knees before God and I began to cry out to God, and I was begging God to forgive me of my sins and to save my soul, to save my lost soul. And there was something that happened to me that was more real than anything else in my life ever has been. Something happened to me in that hour. The Spirit of God spoke to my spirit and told me that I was saved. And so I know that it's real. I know that these things are true, not because I've read them, but because they have been revealed unto me by the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't matter how many years time goes on or how much things change. If you take the work of the Holy Spirit of God out of religion, then you have taken away its most vital part. If you take away the work of the Spirit of God from it, then all you have is something that's outward. All you have is something that's formal. All you have is something that will perhaps satisfy or please the flesh for a little bit of time, but the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives is that which allows you and I to know that the things that we believe and the things that we uphold, they are in fact true. They're true. The Apostle Paul, again, in writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, he said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." How can we know the terror of the Lord? Well, there again, I'll tell you something that happened to me. You know, had it not been for the work, I'll tell you what, friends, listen, there are people today, sometimes it's little bitty children that are deceived, that are caught up in the corruption of false teachings. And there are people today, many people today, that try to accept the Lord or just try to do something outward that will gain them favor with God before they have ever even been brought to the realization that they need God. You know what? Had it not been for the working of the Spirit of God, I would have never even known that I was lost. I would have never even known that I needed a Savior had it not been for the Spirit of God convicting my soul of sin and showing me what I really was and showing me where I stood with the Lord. The Spirit of God works in the redemption of a soul from beginning to end. From the time that we become to know that we're lost. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. I knew I was lost. I mean, I knew it. I didn't imagine it. It wasn't something that I thought, well, I must be lost because, you know, I'm old enough. I must be lost because so-and-so says they're lost and they're 12 years old and I'm 12 years old, so I must be lost too. That's not how it happened with me. I knew that I was lost when the Holy Spirit of God revealed it to my soul that I was lost and separated from God. That's how I knew. And I wouldn't have known it without that. A lot of people here today know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. The work of God, the revealing of God through things, through His Holy Spirit, showing us things that are real. Lost friend, listen. Listen to me today. The day is coming. If you don't get right with God, if you don't turn to God, and repent of your sins and trust Him with all your heart, the day is coming when you're going to stand in this number with those that are on the left, and you're going to hear this from the Lord. You're going to hear, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I thought about you this week. As I went through my week this week, I saw your faces, thought about your names. I thought about those of you that come here from time to time that haven't been saved, that don't have a spiritual experience with God, that haven't been born of the Spirit of God. I thought about you this week, and I thought about the reality of this account of these scriptures of what Jesus told us is going to happen. I thought about you and I thought, Lord, have mercy. You know what? I don't want us to part there. Come, go with us. We'll do you good. We'll do you good. I've never known anybody. I've had some people like everybody else. Everybody in life, I'm sure, has faced it. I've had some people that have wronged me in this world. I've had some people do some pretty underhanded things. But you know what? I've never known a person in my life. I can stand before you today and say this honestly. I've never known a person in my life since the time that the Lord saved my soul. I've never known one single person that I didn't have a desire for them to be saved. I don't want to see anybody die and lose their soul. But lost friend, listen, there's only one way to escape it, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else tries to tell you. If you are not satisfied yourself that God has saved your soul, then I'm not satisfied with it. And you shouldn't be. I mean, if it hasn't been the Spirit of God that has revealed that to you and let you know that you have been saved, then you need to continue to seek for it until you find it. Because somewhere along the way, with everybody that's been saved, somewhere along the way in their life, they're able to go to that place, to that spot, and say, that is where the Lord spoke peace to my soul. I think there are those of you here today that know that you're lost. Well, let me assure you of this. It wasn't me standing up here preaching that made you to know that. It was the Spirit of God working in your heart with the truth that made you to know that. Job, long ago, you know what? Before Jesus ever came into the world, a man named Job long ago said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know what I know today? I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that He lives. I know that I've been saved. I know that heaven is real. I know that I'm going there. I know that I'm going to walk the streets of gold. I know that I'm going to be in the presence of God. Friends, listen, I'm telling you today that I know it. I know it. But I don't know it up here. I know it here. This is not, it wasn't in my carnal mind that it was revealed to me. It was in my soul. The Spirit of God bearing witness with my spirit. You know, the problem with mind religion is it's just, what, about 18 inches too high. It needs to be in your heart. Do you know the Lord today? I'm telling you, you can. You can. But you need to seek Him until God tells you that you've been saved. You know, I love the church here at Fairview Memorial. I do. I love this church with all my heart. But if she ever gets to where, if this church ever gets to where they want to be a church that begins to tell people whether or not they're saved, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it. I'm glad for the truth that's being upheld here. And I'm telling you today that salvation is between you and God and nobody else. It's between you and the Lord, and it's something that only God can let you know about. Let's stand and have a song.